Apple just released a MacBook Air update, but what else can we expect this month? In this episode of the Macworld Podcast, we're talking about the very busy spring season that Apple has in store. Stick around and find out. Welcome to the Macworld Podcast. I'm Roman Loyola here with Jason Cross.
Good morning.
And Michael Simon.
Hello, sir.
It's going to be a very busy month of March. We're expecting hardware updates. And as we record this on Tuesday, Apple released iOS and iPadOS 17.4. But don't expect a big event to announce these products. Apple isn't going to have a spring event video, which I guess isn't surprising because we last had one in 2022.
But they also released the stuff in January. We got the Mac Mini, the HomePod 2, and the MacBook Pro at the time, the M2 Max and Pro processors. That was all in January. So we didn't expect one then because they already released a bunch of stuff. Now, I'd love to know, Apple's meetings, like they have to come at some point, like, I don't know, November or October of the prior year. It's like, okay, we got all this stuff to release. What passes the bar for a spring event? Now, listen, as a journalist, as someone who covers Apple, this is so much more preferable because, for one, it gives us something to write about every week, and for two, it's not a crush of stuff in one day. And I assume it's the same for Apple. It's better to spread out the headlines and the attention over a couple of weeks. Like, what's that threshold? What's that litmus test? Like, all right, we got an iPad Pro, we got an iPad Air, got a MacBook Air, maybe something else. Nah, I don't know. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in those meetings.
Yeah, I guess it depends on if you're going to stand there in front of your virtual screen in a video and talk about all these new features. Are they new and exciting? Are they better than something you had before? So something like this MacBook Air update, it's improved over the last MacBook Air, but just by throwing in an M3, which already exists in the MacBook Pro and is out and isn't surprising anybody. And they didn't do other stuff. There's no iPhone SE coming that we expect. The iPad Air is, again, just like a processor.
But there's a new model.
Potentially, yeah. If the 15-inch comes out, there's a new model. But it's not like they haven't done, I mean, not 15-inch, the 12.9-inch. Right. But it's not like they don't have a 12.9-inch iPad. They have an iPad Pro.
Yeah, that's true.
The kind of the only bit that has an exciting bit that's actually new would be the iPad Pro having OLED and being thinner, if that drops.
When the iPad Pro first came out, they had an event in 2018. They did that. They did the Mac Mini.
New iPad Pro. That's a whole new product.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. So I guess you're right. I guess it's new, but not really new.
It depends on how new it is. And can you get people excited about, like, this is a big update and it's something we have something to show that's not like just a chart that says, look, it's 15% faster.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. The MacBook Air that just came out is the tamest of updates. I mean, there's nothing. They even have the same, we were talking about this in Slack, the wallpaper. So Apple loves to change their wallpapers to make it look new. It's the same one. And it's like, wow. Like, they even Apple's admitting, like, listen, there's nothing new here. It's a new chip and some small stuff. But otherwise, if you have an M2, you don't need this.
So yeah, I don't know what the threshold is, but I would agree that I don't think what is coming this month, even if those new OLED iPads come out, and that's, you know, not a foregone conclusion. It's kind of expected, but it could also be WWDC or something. Like, you know, I haven't seen the whole, you know, display producers have got a million order for 3 million of these things, you know. So, you know, even if there's that, I would agree it would be a really lame update. Since there's no iPhone SE, I think the next iPhone SE is going to be something they're going to really want to talk about, especially if it looks different for change.
So let's talk about what has actually dropped. So we talked about the MacBook Air, how it got an M3. I guess one major new feature is the new dual display support. Now, the thing is, it's two displays total. So that includes the laptop display. So you could have the laptop display and an external display.
The MacBook Air could be open and running, and you can attach a monitor, and you can expand it, you know, expand your desktop. or mirror it, I guess.
Yeah.
The new thing is you can close it now. So it's all very specific. Like, you have to close the laptop. And once you close the laptop, then you can connect two displays.
It's weird and annoying that you have to close the lid.
Yes.
And it would be nice if they could probably do this in a software update. If you could just decide, hey, if I plug in two monitors, turn off my display, MacBook display. Because what if I want to use that keyboard and touchpad? What if I don't want to have an external keyboard? Because if you're closing it, you also need a keyboard and touchpad, trackpad or mouse or whatever, right?
Right. It becomes a Mac Mini essentially once you close it.
It's fine for docking. It's a neat docking solution that, hey, I can dock with dual monitors now instead of just one. But that's all it really is.
And then is the midnight color new? I forget.
It's not new, but they have a new coating that makes it attract less or fewer fingerprints.
See, they could have spent 10 minutes on the video talking about the new coating.
That would be admitting that it attracted fingerprints, though. They don't do corrections in a...
That's true. Yeah.
We should mention that it since the M3 is already out in MacBook Pros, the 13-inch or 14-inch MacBook Pros and stuff, that will be getting the same sort of dual display thing in a software update. And if you have an M3 Pro, that already does.
And the Max does even more. Like, I think you could do 4 with the Max and 3 with the Pro in addition to the display itself.
So the MacBook Air is available now for pre-order and starts shipping this Friday.
So the biggest news, in my opinion, is that the M2 model, the 13-inch M2 model, is now $999 instead of $1099. And that replaces the M1 model that was $999 for the last like 4.5 years or something, 3.5 years. They had that in the lineup forever. For $999, you can get a really good budget MacBook Air that has a new design, M2 chip, new display, all that other stuff for $999, and probably for less once Amazon and other companies start selling it. Best Buy, B&H, like, they always run sales on that thing. So you might be able to get it for like $800 by the end, by like Black Friday, which is, I mean, that's fantastic once those sales start hitting. Yeah, I mean, even $999 is pretty good if you're looking for a laptop, you know, in that range. You know, I mean, I know $1099, then you can get the M3, and then you got to figure all that stuff out. But if you have a hard stop at $1,000, I mean, it's a much better laptop than it was just 2 days ago.
Just to clarify, the M2 does not let you close the laptop and run to external displays.
This is correct. One display with the laptop open.
Yes, that's it.
We should note that it's still comes with just 8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, they all do.
Like, you can either go all the way up to the $1,500 base model, or you can just choose like the cheapest 8-core GPU version that's $1099 and pay $200 extra. And you want to. It's a difference. There's Apple downplays the difference. It's been tested even on regular things. Just that you're giving up a lot of speed with 8. So just in your mind, add $200 to the price and be mad because you really want the 16 gig.
Yeah, it's absolutely necessary if you plan on keeping it for longer than a year. I wonder if this is like, Apple's taken a lot of heat specifically over the last 6 months for this. And I wonder if like this is it, like next year, the M4, everything will start at 16 gigs. Like, just like they did with the iPhone storage, they kept it hanging on for just a little bit too long. They took a ton of flack and then they updated it to 32 and then 64.
Yeah, and it'll be okay for 1 year. And then in 2026, they'll still be hanging on to 16 gigs and everybody will be go like, all right, this laptop is $1,299 and it comes with 16 gigs of memory. That's ridiculous. It's 2026 already. It is absurd, you know. They'll hang on too long again. It's not just that the base is too cheap and that they hang on too long. It's that base is too cheap. The base is too little and that they hang on too long. It's that the upgrade price is highway robbery. Like $200 for 8 gigs. This is not expensive RAM. This is not ultra elite, extreme.
If it cost them $20, that's a lot.
I'd be surprised if it cost them. I tried to price out sort of the DDR4X chips at that price, you know, look at price per lots of 10,000 and stuff, and it was something like $27 for 8 gigs worth. Apple doesn't pay $27. They're buying these in huge volumes. And that was a little while back. It might cost them $20.
The other thing is the 1099 MacBook Air 13-inch and the 1299 15-inch MacBook Air has 256 gigabytes of SSD storage. And that 256 gigabytes is done as a single SSD chip, not as two 128 gigabyte chips. So you're going to take a performance hit.
That's the case across like every entry level Mac that Apple sells.
Yeah.
It's a cost thing.
Yeah. The entry level, lowest priced MacBook Pro and MacBook, it's not true on the cheapest Mac Studios.
Well,
Sure about the Mac Mini. I have to check.
I believe it affected the Mini too. Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
It's not the kind of performance hit that you're going to say, oh my God, this is so slow.
Right.
But if you were to compare it, if you're moving a 2 terabyte file around and you compare it against a 512 machine, you will see a difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird. It's one of those things where it is literally half as fast, but even at half as fast, it's pretty fast storage.
Yeah.
And it's not going to hit you every single day. But the other thing is they now do so much swapping to the SSD with the unified memory and everything that it's strange because at 8 gigs, you do a lot of swapping and also your SSD is slower. That's one of the reasons probably why those 8 gig machines are so slow. You know, it doesn't help that you're swapping a lot and the swapping is half as fast.
So that's the MacBook Air. We'll have a full review of it coming soon.
Spoiler alert, it's a little faster.
It goes from N2 to N3. That's what it is.
Right. Yeah, if you've been following this stuff, you could probably extrapolate already what the review is going to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the MacBook
Pro. We already know the M3 chip from the MacBook Pro. It's the same chip.
Right.
The design is the same as last year. The ports, the display.
Apple's not claiming any kind of battery improvement or anything, so it's probably not going to be different in any significant way there.
And today, as we record this, Apple dropped iOS 17.4, which I think is more of a big deal in the EU, in the European Union.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge deal.
Because it has the App Store changes that have been kind of beleaguering. Is that the right word? Apple? Sure. Beleaguered?
That's a good SAT word, Roman. Good job.
Yes, yeah. That Apple has been forced to implement.
Yeah.
Let's say against their will.
Yeah.
It will allow you to get apps outside of the App Store, and it will allow app developers to use payment processors for digital goods other than Apple's. It also opens up the NFC chip to other digital payment systems and wallets and stuff. Apple has also changed terms for developers. If they want to stay on the App Store and use Apple's app ecosystem, they can keep the current terms.
Right.
If they want to distribute somewhere else or use a different payment system, even if they are distributed in the App Store or both, or even use Apple's things, they can get on this new payment system that has like lower commissions, but charges everybody a core technology fee of 50 cents for every download after a million. Even if you just have a free app, even if you have no monetization in your app of any kind or whatever, no ads, nothing, it doesn't matter. As soon as you pass a million, and it's per year, you start counting again every year. And that's a lot. It's like literally, they should have just called it a gatekeeping fee. It's literally just a like, well, you want to publish on our operating system, right, you got to pay us no matter what. And fee. and everyone's mad about it because they kind of did, a lot of developers did the math. They put out a tool to let you compare what you would pay. Apple's claim is that most apps would pay less, but a lot of app developers kind of posted their results from the tool and said, oh my God, I can't even afford to publish under these new rules. they're claiming that's the point. The point is they're not really giving developers a choice.
Right, which we all expect.
Leave the App Store or lose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think the legal wrangling around this is not over. I think the technological things, this is all policy. They don't even need to do an update to make this happen. This is just, they just changed their terms, right? But there's a lot of stuff in there, even if you're not in the EU. There's some new anti-malware stuff that goes in the background and everything that was put in there as part of this new stuff for the EU.
But I think what everybody can get on board with in the EU or the United States or wherever you are the new emojis that are coming.
Roman's been sitting on that transition for like a month, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I love my transition. So.
Who doesn't love emojis? Come on. Phoenix, come on.
A lime. Can't wait to use the lime. I don't know why I would use the lime. Or the brown mushroom. Not just a mushroom, it's brown mushroom.
Yeah.
Yep. No, white mushrooms suck. Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows. Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, the ones besides just like some of them have gotten left-right swaps, you can face.
Yeah, a bunch of those. Yeah.
There's a bunch of those. There's a head nodding and a head shaking left or right things. I can imagine actually using those. Like that. Mm-hmm. That's like, oh yes, that is a thing I would like to convey.
Yeah.
The other new features. There's battery health is more easily visible in the battery settings. There's new cryptography. There's new encryption for iMessage that will help keep. No, it's not like anyone's close to breaking iMessage now, but with quantum computers, they're concerned that people will in 5 or 10 years be able to go back and decrypt your messages from today, right? So there's a post-quantum cryptography that makes it pretty much as secure as Signal at this point. Transcripts in the podcasts app, which is nice. If you listen to an old podcast, you may not see it yet because these transcripts are made on the back end in Apple's cloud servers, and they're starting with newer stuff and working their way back. But it works just like lyrics in songs. You hit you hit the same button in the same place, and you just get a transcript of the podcast. And they like the little things like the Apple Music's Listen Now button is now just called Home.
I'm on board with that change.
Me too. I bet it's not.
I never understood why it was Listen Now, and I always got confused between Listen Now and Browse as to which was which part, which things I wanted, which tabs mean.
And I'm also listening now. If there's a radio, Browse, radio, and library are all listening now. Like I don't.
Yeah.
So Home makes sense. They didn't actually change the home screen. They changed the button
after. What has it been? 6 years? I mean, it's just so weird. Like again. I want to be in on that meeting. Like, all right, it's time. We have to change Listen Now to Home. iOS 17.4, we cannot wait to iOS 18 to get this done.
They do some weird stuff sometimes. Like, there's a monthly list now. I mean, not monthly. Yeah, monthly. Like, your top things listing for the month. Just like the year in review. It's
like heavy rotation, they call it. Yeah.
No, not that. There is a
different.
There is a thing that's updated every day, the heavy rotation.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There's a summary that's just like your year in review, except it's your month in review. But if you select it, it opens on the website. Like you have to.
The year end page.
Right, and it's like, why isn't this in the app? So there's a replay. There's your yearly replays. And the 2024 replay is there and updating all the time. And if you hit those open in the app. Like they do, there's also a year review site, but you get like the playlist, your replay playlist. But your monthly replay pops open a website. How did they make that decision? How did they make the decision to just go like, this shouldn't be in the app? Some things like that are weird to me.
Here's the reason why I wanted to have an Apple event is because Apple released new spring colors for the iPhone 15 case and the Apple Watch.
What's funny about that is they like those never get a mention, even when there is an event. Like they'll pop up on the website after the event with everything else, but they never really talk about the fact that, like, when the Apple Watch first launched, people used to buy these things every time. Mm-hmm. Every time there was a new color, and there would be people on, like, you know, YouTube and
people collect
Twitter
them,
showing. I wonder if they still do, because now there's a lot of them and they're expensive. Like, are people still buying these every single time they come out? I wonder. I haven't bought an Apple Watch Band from Apple in, I don't know, a long time, because there's so many knockoffs now that are really good. Not knockoffs. There's so many, you know, third party bands. Yeah.
Yeah.
That are really good and way cheaper. Way cheaper.
There's some bad ones too. But
there's some bad ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to pay Apple's price for an Apple Watch
band. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, a simple silicone band is $50. I mean, you know, it's crazy. And then they have that Hermes stuff. That's like $300 friggin' dollars. It's more than the watch. For it's like yarn.
Yeah, but that's a separate brand that they just sell in the stores.
That's a separate thing.
And the whole point is the price. They used to announce new iPhone colors, though. There used to be a new color non-pro basic iPhone. We did not get an announcement of a new iPhone 15 color, which we kind of expected. Yeah. And if all the cases and stuff came out now, we would have expected it come out like at this time too. So it's possible it still comes out there's a new iPhone color coming this month.
There hasn't been a single rumor. Usually, like, we hear like whispers like, oh, we saw a yellow iPhone 14 or whatever. Right. There's been nothing. So it's possible that they're just not doing it. Maybe maybe the last couple of years they haven't really sold. So they're just not gonna bother. I don't know.
Just doing the cases. Yeah.
I mean, the pro colors are so kind of drab, and the iPhone 15 colors are like, you could barely tell the difference between them. So what's the difference? They all look the same. Like, when you're in the store, you see them side by side, you can kind of tell. But when you pick one up, like, it's such a weird choice to have the colors be so white. Like, they're almost like they're not even there.
They're very springtime colors to begin with. There's a blue, pink, yellow, and green. They're all very pastel-y. Everything but the black. And they never update the Pro's color in the spring anyway. It's just the regular iPhone. So maybe that's why they're just doing these springtime color cases this year. Now that we've said all this, watch, next week they drop a purple.
There'll be a new Pro Titanium purple or something.
There's no product red iPhone 15, so... Usually they drop that later.
That would be a shocking. Imagine they came out with like this, like, really bright red next to all the other non-color colors. That would be a choice.
Yeah, product red is never pastel. It is a specific color.
It's a shade.
In addition to the age charity that it supports. So
maybe we'll see that. Who knows? So that's the stuff that's already here for March. The stuff that we think is still to come is we're also expecting the release of macOS 14.4, which pretty much has the feature implementation of iOS 17.4. So you can get those new emojis on the Mac as well. Go wild on that brown mushroom.
Probably next week, I would assume, for that stuff. If you buy a new MacBook Air, it'll probably ship with 14.4. I would think.
It should, yeah. I thought that maybe Apple would update the Mac Mini because the M3's out, to sort of like complete that cycle.
I totally agree, yeah. Really strange if they don't, because that, it doesn't make any, like, it's your chip. Like, everything should have the latest version of your chip. Like, it's not like you can blame Intel anymore and say, well, you know, we're not happy with the yield or whatever. Like, you're making the thing. I assume at some point the Mac Mini will get a token M3 upgrade with, you know, just the new processor. But very strange that it didn't come out yesterday or even last year, whichever.
Well, there was a report, I can't remember when, it was a little while ago, that M3 Mac Mini benchmarks appeared on Geekbench. I went back and I only found one record of it. So,
yeah, that's sketchy.
Yeah, so it's kind of sketchy. Who knows? I mean, that could have been a preliminary test, or who knows what that was. But we haven't heard anything about the Mac Mini. We'll see when it comes out. The iPad has been kind of ignored for the past year. I thought that would be the main reason why we would have the event, because it would put the spotlight back on the iPad, even though they're not really significant changes, except for maybe the iPad Pro.
Yeah, it's been a long time since, I guess this time, it was, so the 10th gen iPad came out in October of 2022. I mean, that's an eternity between a year and a half between any mention of anything new. So yeah, I agree with Roman. In fact, that just to generate some interest, some buzz. And even then, like that 10th gen iPad, that was just a website thing. That was a completely new model of iPad. They didn't even have an
iPad. Yeah. So the rumors are that an Air that gets an M2 and the addition of a 12.9-inch model, and then iPad Pros that get M3s and change from the backlit mini LED screen to OLED displays, which make them thinner. And that means they also need like new Magic keyboards, which Monster might also get some design changes.
Yeah, it's unclear like what if there's any major differences there. Like a couple of times it's been described as, you know, a redesigned keyboard, Magic keyboard, but there's not really any specifics. And I mean, honestly, that's one of the best things they make. The price is outrageous. But if you buy, like, it's fantastic for what it is. It's really nice. It's sturdy. It protects it well. It's really nice.
The only sort of specific thing we've heard about that is that the outside edge, this edge that would be on the bottom, would be on the outside when you close up your iPad with the thing, would be aluminum, so that it looks like you've got the aluminum from the iPad and the other side with the keyboard would be aluminum. It would look more like a folded up laptop. Mm-hmm. Right? That's sort of the only rumor that even mentions what maybe design change this could be. But I'm also wondering, they have mentioned in a few rumors that these new iPad Pros will get quote unquote MagSafe. That could mean the round MagSafe magnetic wireless charger of an iPhone. Like you just slap that little puck on the back, you know, or whatever. But they also call the plug for a MacBook MagSafe. That kind of makes more sense to me, just in the sense that, like, well, maybe they're doing really fast charging. Like maybe you can plug in your MacBook's MagSafe, that same sort of connector, to get like a really fast charge.
If they did that and got rid of USB-C on the iPad, does it matter?
I don't think they'll get rid of USB-C because they actually, on the Pros, use it for a lot of data stuff, right? I think it's going to be a different connector. It'd be a connector that sits on the bottom.
So there'll be a second one, like they'll move it over and kind of center the two?
The USB-C connector would still be on the short end where it is now. And the MagSafe would be what would be on the bottom when it's landscape. It would be... Mm-hmm. The same connector where when you put it on the Magic Keyboard, you know, where it docks in. Yep. That's where I would imagine they would put this MagSafe connector, and it would also be where it gets power from the Magic Keyboard. Like when you plug in the Magic Keyboard, it sends power through the thing.
Yep.
That would be my guess. But we don't know what it is. The only rumor is, quote, MagSafe, which kind of doesn't tell us enough to know what they're talking about, because Apple has two very different things called MagSafe.
Both magnetic charging, but it's very, very different implementations of it.
One's like actual pins plug that just stays on with a magnet, and one is wireless charging that just stays in place with a magnet. Very different things. It's supposed to be a new Apple Pencil to go with the...
Yeah, I heard that too.
Together with the new iPads.
That'll be the 12th Apple Pencil.
Some are calling it, it's basically like an update to the second generation. So it's meant to replace all the iPads that use the second generation, you know, wirelessly charging Apple Pencil. I mean, there's been some rumors of some cool new features for it, which would make it really cool and would also mean that Apple will probably charge more for it and keep the old version around and therefore have four different Apple Pencils called Apple Pencil on the market. Things like magnetically interchangeable tips has been one of it. Some say it's like shorter and glossy and stuff. Rumor that's popped up a few times is color sampling. That would be amazing. That would be such a cool thing for...
Like you would be able to like use it to select a color, like capture a color?
Yeah, like you yeah. touch something and it's going to literally...
Like the eyedropper tool in Photoshop, right?
Yeah, except of a real thing in the
yeah,
real life.
Yeah, yeah.
Not color sampling on your screen. They can already do that. So yeah, that would be pretty amazing. So yeah, we'll see. If they do drop that, we would expect that to drop together with the new iPad Pros.
Yeah, yeah, it would be surprising. I mean, we joke, but this pencil has to replace one of the ones that they sell now. Right?
Yeah, they've got to stop selling.
They can't do another one.
This second gen iPad pencil, and this is the new Apple pencil.
Yeah.
This can't.
Maybe it even replaces two of them at this point.
If they're going to do this, they at least need to give them new names. They can't call them all just Apple pencil. It's ridiculous.
But they do, Jason.
They do, and it's ridiculous. Nobody knows what to buy. So it's insane.
The iPad Pro is also an iPad Air update. That's going to bring, I guess, an M2 chip, maybe. I doubt they gave it the M3.
New size and M2.
Yeah, so, right. It's the new size. So it's going to basically mirror the Pro, according to rumors, 12.9-inch and 11-inch or 10.9-inch. I mean, we talked about this last week. I don't really understand what the reason is for it, but it'll presumably be, I don't know what, $700, I guess? The current one costs $599 for 11 inches, so I assume the 12.9-inch would be at least...
$200 more, yeah.
Yeah, maybe $800.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you get with the Pro? You get a better camera. You get the full camera thing with the...
Yeah. You get OLED now.
And then you get OLED.
Based on the rumors. But that might go up in price a ton. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to do. I think this is going to be $300 more or something. And then the Pros will be even more expensive.
I mean, maybe. So right now, the Pro, the 11-inch Pro starts at $800. Like, how much can they push that? 11? Does it start at $1,100?
$999.
So that goes to 9, and then the 12.9-inch goes to, like, $1,299, starting at $1,299?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money for an iPad.
Yep.
They probably bumped the base storage to 256 at that point, I would think. It's 128 now.
In the Pros, yeah,
right, with the Pros. Yeah,
I hope so.
Maybe.
Yeah. And you got the OLED display and, you know,
the new Magic Keyboard probably costs more, especially if it's got like an aluminum backing.
I mean, that's already $350.
Yeah. I think the intent here is to pull the Air up to fill in the middle and lift the Pro even higher so that they have an even higher sort of price range for iPads without going crazy and buying like the full terabyte storage, like what, you know, just like when you consider sort of your standard models, run into a store and just get it, not made to order, whatever type things. I think they're trying to expand the price range more and pull the average sale price up. And these releases and their pricing is going to be meant to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. That's kind of what they did with the iPhone. But like everybody wants the iPhone Pro. I don't know if everybody wants the iPad. Like I'm willing to spend more on an iPhone Pro Max every year. I can't say the same thing for any of the iPads, honestly. Like I know it's gorgeous. Like it's a weird thing because the iPad Pro is one of the nicest things that Apple makes. It's ridiculously loaded with whatever it needs to have. But there's just no reason to own an iPad that's that high end.
Not at all. And honestly, it almost feels like Apple's stubborn refusal to make any kind of touch on MacBook is to justify the existence of
maybe.
iPads, yeah, because it's like at that point, the only reason to get an iPad Pro is because like you really need touch. It's there's nothing it does that you wouldn't be better off doing with a Mac at this point. And they're getting into similar price territory. And it's actually, the Mac is actually cheaper if you start looking at putting in comparable storage, getting the Magic keyboard. And
you know. Right. I mean, the MacBook Pro comes with the Magic keyboard.
Right.
It's standard.
It comes down to, well, but the iPad's got the cameras, which not a lot of people need in the thing, and touch. And it's like, well, if they made a touch MacBook, they would stop selling iPad Pros.
Speaking of stop selling, We're going from products that were coming out in March to products that aren't coming out at all. It was confirmed last week that Apple has killed its Apple Car project. It went by the codename Project Titan. So if you were waiting to buy an Apple Car, I think the projected release was 2028.
Who knows at this point?
Yeah.
Every report pushed it out another 2 years.
That was the new pushed out further from 26 to 28. And then as part of that, they said they reevaluated and said, we're shutting this down.
So the Apple Car is officially dead. Apparently, the people working on it are going to be now working on Apple's AI efforts. Apparently, a lot of analysts and investors were quite happy by the news.
Stock's getting hammered this week. I don't think that has anything to do with it. But
yeah, everything's getting hammered this week. They had a couple of thousand people working on this, right? Like that was... It was not a small thing that, and even though they never announced anything about this, and they've been asked many times and given answers to like non-committal things that don't say they're not working on a car. Everyone knew because they had a couple thousand, you don't hire a couple thousand people. This was not just car software to license to cars and stuff. This was meant to be they hired, in addition to a bunch of software engineers and hardware engineers, like chip guys and stuff, they had actual automotive engineers, automotive designers on the team. Those people are probably going to be let go, according to the reports. But then the hundreds of other people are going to go over to join John Giandrea's group. He's the guy who does machine learning and AI at Apple. And there is no way on earth Apple was going to manufacture a car.
It really wasn't. It was the most unrealistic rumor of all time.
Not necessarily. Like, I think they were intending to make a car, but they were intending to find a partner to make it for
They do. But not actually have like
a factory with...
Right. Because they don't even do that for the iPhone. Their most important product, they don't manufacture. Or Macs or anything else. It's all Flextronics and other, manufacturing
parts. But they also don't leave it in the hands of somebody else. If the car were to ever happen, they would have to say, all right, Mercedes is going to make this and we're going to work with them.
Right.
Or Kia or whatever. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Or whoever. Yeah.
And who knows if it would be called like the Apple Car by Kia.
That's what I'm saying.
Apple Car or whatever. But the fact is it was going to be a car, not the Kia Sorento with Apple Car technology, and they were going to like license car technology to multiple different car makers. They were going to make a car.
Yeah.
And it was going to be a self-driving car. Then it got to be a less self-driving car. And in the more recent thing, it was pushed back a couple of years and it was going to be an even less self-driving car, just like the same assisted driving technology you see like Ford Blue Cruise and Tesla Autopilot and stuff like that, like the things that are kind of out there now. Originally, it wasn't going to have like a steering wheel, right? That was the goal.
Allegedly, yeah.
And that kept getting walked back and back. And I just got to say, thank God, because this was the dumbest idea. As much as anyone, I would have been thrilled and super excited and interested to find out what they were making, like what the vision was and what it was going to be like. But this goes against every strength Apple has. This is incredibly complex manufacturing with like tons of, like, you think an iPhone is complicated, like imagine a car is so many more parts more partners. It's regulated like crazy. Like Apple hates being told how an interface has to be or any what feature something has to have. There are multiple regulatory bodies all over the world that tell you exactly those things.
Right.
Has to do this, has to have that, etc. Long-term support and serviceability. It's not like an iPhone, bring it back to the store and forget it. Like, these things need to be serviced over time. There are regulations requiring it. Like it's everything Apple's not good at. Being told what to do and massive manufacturing on a global scale and long-term support and service. Just none of it makes any sense for Apple.
At some point, someone's going to get killed in one because it's a car. And then they have to deal with that whole fallout. Like there's a lot about a car that does not work. Well, I mean, with honestly most technology companies, if not all of them, but Apple, as for all the reasons that Jason just said, It's just not their game. Now, the stuff inside the car is a totally different story.
And CarPlay has been advancing, and it's been doing a lot. And there's next-gen CarPlay coming this year that's going to do a lot. That all makes sense. Let Apple take it
absolutely
over the parts of the car that aren't the critical driving part. Entertainment and infotainment and navigation and messaging and all the other smart things you want your smart car to do. Yeah, that's totally Apple's wheelhouse, you know, interface and entertainment and all that other. Yeah, they're great at that. So just do that. And I think that's why kind of the investors were happy. They're like, oh, good. They're not getting in. They've already blown billions of dollars working on it. They're not going to throw good money after bad trying to chase this pipe dream to make an unaffordable car. It was originally going to be like a $120,000 car.
Of course it would be. I mean, it would be higher than a Tesla. Easy.
Yeah. And then it went down to a under $100,000, which that's like, all right, so now you're saying 90,000 or something. It's still going to be a Mercedes or something. Like, even if it's 70,000, whatever. It never was going to be a $40,000 car, right? There was never going to be a version of it.
There's no Apple Car Air.
Right. That was the other thing. Like, all right, so they come up with an Apple car and it's out. Now what? Do you expand the line? Did they get into making like a bunch of models? It's just so not Apple's.
This is a whole
not something business. They ever should have.
Well, I mean, again, to be fair, it was all rumor and speculation. We don't know how close they were, what the plan was, how serious.
We knew they were hiring. Was. They were hiring.
Sure. I mean, they were exploring it for sure. And they reached the point where like there were rumors of test drives and things like that. But I don't know how viable the plan actually was. Like, did Tim Cook believe or talk to people? Right. Like, okay, and at WWDC in 2027, we want to roll this thing out on stage. Like, I don't know if it ever got to that point.
Yeah, I don't know how close. And I think that's one of the reasons they killed it is every couple of years, the timeline moved back a couple of years. Yeah. And the whole cars got less advanced, less futuristic, right?
Sure.
And they finally said, you know what? Everybody is throwing unlimited money at any company that views itself as an AI company, right? Like the stocks are just soaring on anything that's AI related. Every company's getting we do a lot of AI stuff. Why aren't we an AI company? Why aren't we getting?
Yeah, that's probably true.
They've decided, well, we have all these people working on an AI project that's limited to this car thing. They shouldn't be there. They should be working on AI for all of our other products, and we should get rid of the car specific. And
like a lot of the stuff they learned during this development phase, like can absolutely be applied all over the place, including the inside of a car.
Yeah,
you know, CarPlay is fantastic. It, you know, a simple system that beams from your phone, but it's like I wouldn't drive without it anymore. Like it transformed the inside of your car, and that whole next gen CarPlay stuff that they're working on, and however that comes to be, like they can do a lot of damage in the car without having to worry about all the damage of actually making it.
Yeah. So hopefully Apple will be able to use whatever research and development they did on the Apple Car in other areas.
And if they blew like $10 billion, who cares?
they could blow it.
It's not like they don't have the money.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't say this, but I do know someone who worked on the Apple Car for about 18 months. And this was like 6 years ago. And he went.
I want to stop you right there.
Yeah.
That's that statement in itself. Somebody who worked on it, this is how long and how much money they've thrown out.
Exactly.
How serious it was. Yeah. They worked on it for a year and a half, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's still nothing to show for it. No announcement, nothing.
We have CarPlay.
We have CarPlay. And he won't tell me anything about it, about what he was doing there, because he's still under NDA after leaving the company. Mm-hmm. The only thing he would tell me is that it was the worst career experience of his life.
Really? I think those early days were rough. I think I've heard this before about when Apple starts something that's like a skunkworks project, and sometimes they even run it under a false company name because it's run in a different office, and they don't want people like Apple spies going to this other office.
Yeah, there have been pictures that are posted to the web of the supposed location of where they were working at Apple Car and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. But even not Apple Car, other things. When they start up like a new
project, in general, yes.
In a different location. It's got like a fake company name and stuff. And I've heard that those experiences, work experiences, are not great. But that was 6 years ago.
That was six years ago. So the Apple Car is dead. Long live the Apple Car. Well, that does it for this episode of the Macworld Podcast, episode 876. Thanks to Jason Cross.
Thank you.
Thanks to Michael Simon.
Thank you, sir.
And thanks to you, the audience. Thank you for tuning in. You can subscribe to the Macworld Podcast in the podcast app on Spotify or through any other podcast app. Do you have any comments or questions? Send us an email at podcast@macworld.com or contact us through X, that's at Macworld, or on Threads when it's working. That's at Macworld_HQ, or on the Macworld Facebook page when that's working too. Join us in the next episode of the Macworld Podcast as we talk about the latest in the world of Apple. See you next time.